Once again, I want to wish all the fathers happy Father's Day. All my three kids called me this morning and wished me happy Father's Day. And Danny and Bueller called. He said, you've been a very good dad to us. And I told him that I disagreed with him. I told him that I could have been much better, but you know, hindsight's always 20/20, and you know, and I although he may not see, but I've seen flaws in my my dealings with my children. But I also told him that God has all made us with flaws. I mean, none of us are perfect. So, but I praise God for the children that He's given me. Well, I'd like to share some thoughts on a passage that I was meditating on for the last, I believe, in a number of weeks. So turn with me to Luke chapter 16. It's a portion that's very familiar to everybody. We just went through the book of Luke, and so it's not an unfamiliar portion of Scripture. And I'm going to read from the New King James Version. It's Luke chapter 16, and I'd like to read from verse 14. Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also heard all these things, and they derided him, the Lord Jesus. For he said unto them, you are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your heart. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God was being preached, and everyone is pressing into it. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than one tittle of the law to fail. Whosoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery. And whosoever marries her who is divorced from her husband commits adultery. Verse 19. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torment in Hades, the rich man lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then the rich man said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that they may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes from them from the dead, they will repent. But Abraham said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. You know, if you look at chapters 15 and 16, if you have a red letter Bible, which I hope most of you have, I love red letter Bibles. It's pretty much all red. You know, chapters 15 and 16. you know, that kind of tells you something. This is the Lord Jesus speaking. And I always remind myself when I read the words of the Lord Jesus, that he, as to who he is, like we were talking this morning, he's the God of the universe. And sometimes we don't really grasp it as to who this one is, who became man. Although he was human, he was God in the flesh. He was second person of the Godhead. You know, so there is tremendous power in what he's saying. And we have to listen to what he says. If you look at this passage here, you know, you'll notice that he is specifically speaking to the Pharisees. Okay, and if you go back and read the first couple of verses in chapter 15, you will notice that the Pharisees were not very happy with the Lord Jesus. They had no clue who this one was. He was the Messiah. He was God in the flesh, but they had no clue as to who this one was. But so they were not very happy with the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice in verse 14 of this chapter, it says, "Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, who heard these things, and they derided him, they scoffed at him, they ridiculed him." And now, and from verse 15 on, he's addressing the Pharisees. It's important that we should not forget that although he's addressing the Pharisees, there is a message for us. Because we, just like the Pharisees, could have all certain failures that the Pharisees had. So it is a message also for us. And we have to take seriously what the Lord Jesus is teaching here. You know, the Lord Jesus shared from chapter 15 on, if you look at four parables. And the last parable in the early part of chapter 16 is about the unfaithful steward. He had misused the master's money. And this is what it says, when the Pharisees heard these things, they derided him. They weren't happy. Maybe it was God had given them his law to preserve, or his scriptures to preserve, and they failed in that. The Pharisees failed. That's basically, it was a guilt that they had within them. And that resulted in scoffing the Lord Jesus, or deride, making fun of the Lord Jesus Christ's teaching. Now look, notice verse 15. The Lord Jesus is now addressing the Pharisees. And says, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, and God, but God knows your heart." What is the Lord telling the Pharisees? You are men pleasers. You do things so that you can get rewards from men, or you can get, you do things with the wrong motive. So your motive is so that you can lift yourself up. You see, that you can have a better name. Okay, you'll be more respected. Okay, so what is your motives? This is what the Lord Jesus is saying. What is your internal motive for the things that you do? It's important to think about that, right? We can sometimes fall into that. Because we do things externally so that we would be lifted up. Our pride. "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your heart." So what's important is your heart, right? It is your motives that's deep within you for what you're doing, what you're saying, what you're wearing, what you're doing. What is your motive? Because that's what God sees. Remember, the Lord Jesus told Samuel, when he went to anoint David as king, of course Samuel at that time did not know that David was the one to be anointed. So when one by one, as David's older brothers came, this is what the Lord told Samuel. It says, "Do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not a man, not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. For the first failure of the Pharisees, they sought the approval of men rather than God. The basis was to address what men saw in them. Okay? So whatever they did, or their motives, was to lift themselves up. They sought the approval of men. The second failure, let's read 16. For the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of God was being preached, and everyone was pressing into it, it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than one tittle of the law to fail. The Lord Jesus is saying that the former dispensation ended with John the Baptist. A new dispensation is coming with the Lord Jesus Christ. And many has welcomed it. It was a welcome change for many. But that doesn't do away with the old. That's what the Lord Jesus is saying. The law and the prophets, not just the law, not just the prophets, it's the law and the prophets. That's the sum of the Old Testament scriptures. He says none of that is going to go away. Not even one tittle, one dash. Just like the dash that you put above the T, letter T, is going to be taken away from that law. Everything will be fulfilled. But why is he saying this? The Pharisees' responsibility was to preserve the law. They were the lawyers, the leaders of Israel, both political and religious leaders of the nation of Israel. They had a responsibility to preserve the law and the prophets. And what the Lord Jesus is saying is, you have failed in that. The tendency of the Pharisees, of course, we have to go back and read the Gospels, was to give more weight to the law issues. Okay, but they neglected the prophets. It is the prophets that dealt with the hard issues of the law. That's what they neglected. They focused on the law. The Lord Jesus says it is the law and the prophets. They go hand in hand. They go together. You cannot separate one from the other. And then verse 18 says, He gives the standard on divorce. Whosoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery. It is sin. It is breaking the Old Testament law. And during that time, divorce was rampant in Israel. And the Pharisees devalued the standard of God. They adulterated God's standard. They didn't uphold God's standard. So they failed in that. And the Lord Jesus brings that up. So two things, isn't it? The second failure of the Pharisees, as custodians of the law, they failed in that responsibility. So two things the Lord Jesus charged the Pharisees with. One, you're men pleasers. You look for men's approval. And that's the basis of what you do, or what you say. And he's addressing these two in the next parable that he's going to talk about, of the rich man and Lazarus. These two things. Verse 19, there was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Because you see that the Lord Jesus is talking to a rich man. The rich man never had a name, but Lazarus had a name. So some people think that this is a true story. But I'm going to refer it to a parable. A parable is nothing but an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. That's what a parable is. The word Lazarus means one whom God helps. One whom God helps. So what do we know about this rich man? He was extremely wealthy. He dressed with expensive clothes, ate well, he lived happily. He was a blessed person in the eyes of the world. In every respect, he was blessed. So when the world would look at that appearance that he portrays, what is their thoughts? That this man is blessed. He's a righteous man. When he dies, he has to go to heaven. But how about Lazarus, the beggar? He's a poor man, a street beggar. He pretty much laid outside the house of this rich man. Every time the rich man goes in and out, he sees Lazarus on the street. He probably was very weak, had nothing to eat. They don't even talk about his clothes. Probably had nothing to wear. His food? The rich man's garbage. Scraps that fell from the rich man's table. And he had to fight the dogs off to get that food. He had sores on his body. He was sick. He was sickly. And the dogs licked his sores when he maybe slept. When the world looked at this appearance, what is the world's thoughts about this man? He was cursed. He's a sinner. He's worthy of hell. Now Lazarus was fully aware of everything that went on in the rich man's home. You know, all the visitors, you know, that visited this rich man. The food, the smell from the kitchen, all the happiness, the laughter. And the rich man too was aware of the circumstances of Lazarus, right? He walked past Lazarus every time he went in and out of his home. But he totally ignored Lazarus. He ignored his need. He indulged in his wealth. He used his wealth to indulge himself, right? We're all sometimes guilty of that. But rather than give a square meal to Lazarus, a clear violation of the Old Testament scriptures. A clear violation of the Old Testament scriptures. What was the fate of these two men after their death? Well, when you look at an earthly viewpoint, the rich man had a very good funeral after he died. There were a lot of visitors that came for the funeral. But how about this poor Lazarus or this beggar? It was nobody, right? They probably dumped his body in the dunghill somewhere. But God's judgment was evident only after death. And it says Lazarus was carried into Abraham's bosom. And the only thing that says in a heavenly viewpoint, and this rich man also died and was buried. That was it. Now, of course, the Lord Jesus is speaking, you know, to Old Testament, you know, believers. So that's what he used, this idea of Abraham's bosom. You see, it was believed that there was a holding place. Okay? I mean, the other day I was listening to a message. This was actually a few weeks ago when I visited. He was talking about three heavens, and there was the first heaven, which was what we see when the scripture speaks about the first heaven, and the second heaven, which is the holding place, and then the third heaven where God himself dwelt. Paradise. See? But this was the second heaven, because I haven't studied heaven, so don't quote me on this, but the Israelites believed that there was a holding place for the souls of people, and it was divided into two compartments, say, okay, one for the righteous and one for the evil, for the unrighteous. And the righteous went to this righteous compartment, and then the evil or the ungodly went into the other compartment. And we can say that the righteous compartment is the prototype of heaven, and the other compartment is the prototype of hell. And in this chapter we can see the Lord Jesus, of course, his intent was not to teach about heaven and hell, but he revealed certain things about heaven and hell anyway, isn't it? For our information. But it's interesting that this rich man addresses Abraham as father. And Abraham addresses him as son. See, there was a relationship, isn't it? He was an Israelite. This rich man was an Israelite. He was of the lineage of Abraham. But Lazarus, he was taken to the bosom of Abraham. Now, what does Abraham's bosom mean? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 8. I'd like to read a couple of verses there. Just a clue here. Again, this is the Lord Jesus speaking. And he says, "And I say to you that many shall come from the east and the west and recline at the table with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of God. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness." The sons of Abraham, the lineage of Abraham, the sons of the kingdom could be cast out to outer darkness. But those from east and west, the Gentiles, were not part of the original law that was given, not of the family of Abraham, blood relations of Abraham. They will be leaning on Abraham's bosom. You know, we when we hear about, you know, the leaning on bosom, we always think of Apostle John leaning on the Lord Jesus' bosom in the upper room, isn't it? That's probably what Lazarus was doing. You see, he was probably having a sumptuous meal with Abraham. So you can see that the circumstances of these two people were reversed after death. You know, a big part of this chapter, of this parable, was devoted to the requests that the rich man makes to Abraham. And that's what we look at next. Notice what the rich man's petitions are. In verse 24 he says, "The rich man cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip his tip of his finger with water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in these flames." It involved the service of Lazarus. right? He's requesting the service of Lazarus. And the reason for that is he's tormented, he's suffering. And the flames cause great discomfort for him. And the petition was denied. What are the two reasons? And Abraham said, "Son, remember that you in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides this, between us and you there's a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot. What was the two reasons Abraham gave? You got what you deserved. And it cannot be altered. Your fate is sealed. It's over. And the second, that there's no access from one compartment to the other compartment. So his request was denied for these two reasons. So notice what the rich man's next request is in verse 27. Then the rich man said, "I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment." Again, he's requesting the service of Lazarus to go to his father's house so that he can warn his five brothers. So now the rich man understands that the choices have to be made before death. Right? Your destination cannot be altered after death. It has to be done before. The second petition is also denied. Notice what Abraham says. He said to him, "They have Moses and the prophets." See, law and the prophets. Not just the law. Law and the prophets. Let them hear them. Because the rich man was not happy with that. And he said to him, the rich man says, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. And then Abraham said to him, this is a pointed response here, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded the one rise from the dead. There's enough evidence given in the scriptures for man to be saved. Any additional evidence is not going to make any difference in the choices that man would make. So there are the two failures, right, of the Pharisees. One, they sought after man's approval and not God's approval. And second, they diluted the scriptures or scriptural standards. Now, what was this basis of rejection? Why was the rich man sent to hell, if I may call that hell? And why was Lazarus sent to heaven? Was it because the rich man was rich and the beggar poor? Was that the reason? Are all rich people going to go to hell and poor people go to heaven? So you know if God bases judgment on that, then it becomes external, right? Again, that's not the basis. It was not outward appearance. It is not because you're poor you go to heaven. I'm just looking at my notes here. Because God's judgment would be again based on external appearance if that was true. But remember that God sees the heart. That's what it says. God sees the heart, the true motives of a person. So the rich man, we can say, was not condemned because he was rich. Neither was Lazarus justified because he was poor. It was not based on their wealth. True, a godly rich man would have used his wealth differently. But that was not the basis of God's judgment. So what is the basis of God's judgment? Verses 27 to 31. When the rich man asked Abraham that he would send Lazarus to his household so that he can warn his brothers, his five brothers, what did Abraham say? They had the law and the prophets. They had the law and the prophets. Tell them to listen to that. That is the basis. The law and the prophets. If you know the law and the prophets, it will lead you to Christ. Right? Amen. The law and the prophets testify of Christ, the Messiah. My time is gone, but I've had a few more things to say. The purpose of the Old Testament revelation, the law and the prophets, to teach us that we are sinful. A knowledge of the law and the prophets, of Moses and the prophets, would teach us that we are sinful beings, that we need a Savior. And that's what the Pharisees dismissed. They should have recognized the Lord as the Messiah. And they fail. And everything else that comes from Christ, our salvation, is through Him. So let's be careful, isn't it? We should not use external circumstances of somebody to determine what his fate's going to be. Neither should we use external circumstances to puff ourselves up. You've got to be careful, because God sees your heart. God sees your interior motives. That's what matters. You cannot hide that from God. You can hide that from people, what your real motives are. But you can't hide it from God. He sees your motives. Let's not dilute God's standards. Let's uphold it. The Pharisees failed in that. Let's close in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for your scriptures. Thank you, Father, for the Lord Jesus, your beloved Son who came for our redemption, so that we may be with you for eternity. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that teaches us from the scriptures. Father, help us to listen, understand, and obey the scriptures. Father, we thank you for this day you gave us to once again sit under the teaching of your word. And also, Father, for the opportunity to once again remember the Lord Jesus as he requested us to do. Do this in remembrance of me. We pray for blessings upon all that are not here. Father, once again, we echo all the prayer requests that we talked about previously into your hands. And we thank you, Father, for hearing our prayers and with the understanding that you will answer in your time. Thank you, Father, for this time of study. Bless the week for us now. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.